Okay, and welcome back. Glad you're along tonight. There is a tremendous load on the bandwidth for this, and for those of you trying to get on and who cannot hear my voice, please accept my apologies in advance. We're going to put this program up on Rents.com tomorrow in its entirety for a free listen for everybody around the world. Cliff High is back with us tonight, and there is much to discuss. This issue in the Gulf is but one of many that was forecast, predicted, if you will, by the Alta research and reports that Cliff and George put out. This is news to some of you, perhaps, but most of you are well familiar with the work of Cliff High and George, you're his partner. But Cliff is the point man on this. He is the man who does the talking and goes through the incredible piles of data to synthesize, collate, and otherwise formulate what the data suggests is going to happen. And if you look at Rents.com right now and scroll down and right in the middle there under featured stories, you'll see the top box is oil catastrophe. And I have a hunch it's going to be there for a long, long time. The first story up there is Half Past Human, March 2010, Predictions of Oil Disaster. And if I might, let me first say hello to my friend and your friend and our friend. What was your name again?
They call me Cliff.
Cliff. That's right. That's where we're all headed, isn't it?
Indeed. I think we've already sailed over. And you know, the thing about the cliffs is they're almost impossible to climb up.
All too true. But what a ride down.
Right.
All right. Here's the piece I just alluded to. Half Past Human, March 2010. March, April, May, June. We're into July next week. Predictions of oil disaster. I want to read this. They're take me a minute or two, but hang tight. In light of the enormous environmental BP oil catastrophe in the Gulf of Mexico, I've been going through the shape of things to come. ALTA, the Asymmetric Linguistic Trend Analysis Report, published March 12, 2010, by the amazing Cliff High, the wizard behind the half-past human research. The following are some, just some, of the remarkable and haunting excerpts available from Cliff's ALTA report. Now, this again, all copyright. Cliff High, it's right there. halfpasthuman.com. I'm going to read just fragments and sentences from the report. This is very important that you pay attention. This data, Cliff, was first on your electronic desktop. When did it start coming into you?
Oh, you can figure it. Let's see. We published it on the 12th. So we would have had 18 days before then would have been the last of the short-term and immediacy data that I would have looked at.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, reasonably, the end of February, we'd probably been working the data since mid-February at the the latest.
Yeah. That's, by the way, for those of you who don't know, what Cliff does is extremely hard work, and he puts every ounce of himself into it, and like we try to do here and like many of you out there do in your lives, let's make the most of what we have here on this planet, what time we have. We may not have a lot of time left. Here are some excerpts. These are partial sentences, and so forth. First, the oceans are described as being not as before. End quote. The second one. Disastrous summer problems with oceanic convection currents. And then, the supporting aspect attributes sets for the oceans being unlike their former selves. All right, we're talking about massive change here. The fourth, oceanic nightmare. Now, that's a phrase that came up through the ALTA research, those little robots that go out and look for changes in language on the internet. Oceanic nightmare. Another one. Tidal problems to impact the offloading of ships and ports. Another. Ocean changes linked to volcanoes. And there certainly has been quite a bit of volcanic activity, and the oil blowout itself has been compared to a volcano. of oil, and in many ways it is. Many areas of coastal habitat are forecast to be effectively forbidden for use. Destruction of life support systems. Indications are many of the problems are related to the core of the planet. I'm going to read that again. 30,000 foot deep well into the mantle, opening a door to hell, going where we shouldn't go. Indications are many of the problems are related to the core of the planet. Humans and other life directly impacted by large clouds of drifting complex methane. Methane gas release events coincide with dysfunction with the propaganda press. Do that again. Methane gas release events coincide with dysfunction with the propaganda press. Another phrase that came up. Percolating up. Governments merge naval operations into some large and mysterious fleet operations. And another quote. Substantial changes within our planetary environment under ocean.
Yeah, we got quite a few of those, didn't we?
Yes, we did. The Terra entity is also indicating that natural disasters will be contributing to summer 2010 blues, emotional depression of millions of Americans. This is described as a coastal event, by the way.
Yeah, we called that the blue flu. Yeah.
There you go. The unnatural disasters are showing as being a particular problem over July through August. More failures on the part of civil servants within the federal government during a regional disaster cause a large paradigm within the populace of USA over late spring through summer.
That should have been a large paradigm shift or change.
Got it.
Which we're probably on the cusp of at this point in terms of social dynamics.
One more to go. Let me read that one again. More failures on the part of civil servants within the federal government during a regional disaster causes a large paradigm shift within the populace of the USA over late spring through summer. A paradigm shift within the populace. And the last, natural and unnatural catastrophes that will require humans to grab their wits and immediately put them to use. All right? Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. This came from the data as of last February, and the report was released March 12. It's right there, and you can access it at rents.com. All right, now, the most recent report was just released. What was the official release date?
Monday, on the solstice, beginning of the solstice.
Okay. Now, any of you want to get it, you know where to get it, halfpasthuman.com. All right, I'm not going to belabor the point. It is out. It is...
Yeah, it can be Googled. Yeah, you can find it. Yeah.
All right. So, in looking back on this 2012 report from March 2010 report, see, I'm ahead of myself. March 12th, 2010. Is this the most eerily prescient data that you've gotten and assembled and released? In terms of a singular event?
No, in my opinion, I think we did the best work ever with the power failure some years back on the East Coast because we had details that were staggering. This is good. I grant you that. This is probably our second best. I don't want to, it's a terrible situation. And see, here's the issue. The reason we're so prescient at that is because it's so impacting of people on such a mass scale that the ripple goes through the social body, if you will, to such an extent that it affects us all at a level that allows us to pick that up months ahead of time. So we can't take credit for doing anything other than being out there and keeping our eyes open, because it's not us that's actually causing this. It's the huge emotional impact on the social body, the fabric, if you will, of how many millions, tens of millions, 40 million people down there, plus the rest of us that are feeling it sympathetically.
And if they try to relocate 20 to 40 million people, a lot of the rest of us may be feeling it physically in our living rooms. Where are they going to put these people?
It doesn't quite work that way anyway. There is no they on that level of
that's right.
diaspora.
Exactly right.
No one controls it.
Yeah. All right, back with Cliff in just a couple. Glad you're along tonight, and if your friends say we can't get on, we can't. We have huge bandwidth, and this is so, again, heavily listened to tonight that we will be posting it in its entirety for you tomorrow morning, actually later tonight, at Rents.com for a free listen. Okay, and a download, too. Back in a minute. Okay, we're back with Cliff High. Matt Simmons, the petroleum expert, been at it for 40 years or more, says that the entire Gulf will probably have to be evacuated at some point soon. We've been through the drill on this program too many times. I'm not going to do it again about the gas, about the oil, about the hurricanes and all the rest of it. We're talking about...
The hurricanes may be less of an issue, though.
Why so?
Because the military has maintained a 3-year embargo against hurricanes going into the Gulf and attacking our property, so to speak, and they're in the process now of forming high-pressure systems that will divert hurricanes to the south.
With HARP.
Correct. So that may be less of an issue. However, there is a penalty to pay for it that they're aware of, and they were actually probably going to unengineer the hurricane control this year and allow at least one large storm in. Why is that? Because the Ohio River Valley and all of the surrounding area gets a good percentage of it, of their water from hurricanes. In fact, all the way into the northeast sometimes. So you need them as part of the cycle. I believe that that is why we have such weird, strange, patterned weather over the U.S. this year that has kept the west here, especially the northwest down into your neck of the woods, locked into this perpetual winter since last September. And it has to do with them maintaining that high-pressure system to divert hurricanes, because their hurricanes have nothing to do with warm weather or warm water. It's all electrical, and they have to do it for at least 6 months of the year. So it's caused them some consternation, I'm sure, in terms of how they're going to engineer around this, and especially now they know they can't allow the hurricanes to bring much-needed water to the north. So there's caught between a dry place and an oily, wet hurricane. And I am hoping they'll choose to maintain the high pressure blockages and keep the hurricanes out and allow more water to direct in over the northwest. And that will keep us wetter, but the alternative, is terrible.
What are they going to do with oily water up in the Ohio Valley?
Correct, yeah.
Even if they let it through?
Yeah, and I've got trusted associates that are telling me, I'm 353.2 miles, they have GPS from the Gulf at this point, north of it, and I'm smelling burning asphalt and have been all day. I was driving from this point to that point, and for a long time I had my windows open thinking I had a tire problem, and then I realized it was just the general atmosphere. So already we're getting...
You're kidding. 350 miles?
353.2 miles, yeah.
And that's not with any particular kind of tropical depression, storm, or anything else?
No, there's some kind of a counter circulation going that's taking the smell, the aroma of all of the fires, I presume, putting them way up into the Gulf or into the jet stream. Mm-hmm. And there's a slippage, a side stream for the aroma, at least, that's bringing it down in this big loop.
How strange.
300 miles north.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild. Well, we think we know so much. You know what amused me, and I'm going to mention it again for you regulars, forgive me, but the immediate disappearance of air monitoring reports on air quality in the entire Gulf region was so grossly obvious. I mean, you'd laugh if it weren't such a tragedy. One story on a Louisiana television station we were able to get hold of, put it up there, and talked about the parts per billion of benzene, you know the story.
Yeah.
3,400 plus.
The carcinogens
plus.
And all this kind of stuff. And being a boat builder, I'm intimately familiar with all these chemicals.
Yeah.
Because you have to be, because they're in so many of the products that you deal with. And they're quite nasty.
Well, the EPA says 0 to 4 parts per billion are safe of benzene. And they were reporting 3,400 parts per billion on this news story, and that was it. I haven't seen one air quality report measuring benzene or methane or any of the other gases that are coming up. Oh, except for the university professor and his, I guess some of his staff went out and did some really nifty work in the Gulf, in the water, and found out that the amount of methane dissolved and otherwise in the water is over 1 million times what it's supposed to be.
Not surprising, yeah. I mean, given the circumstances.
Right.
And it's going to get a lot worse. It's potentially an extinction-level event. It certainly is not going to do us any good. Our long-term data from way back, and I'm talking a couple of years back, had been speaking of this oil volcano that we had, that I'd misinterpreted it as being caused by the Israeli mistake when they, in my monkey mind, would drop this nuclear bomb and somehow set off an oil volcano. Well, we have the oil volcano. It's probably temporarily related to the Israelis attacking Iran, but they're just not the causal agents. However, within that data set that described it in its initial form was stuff that indicated that the oil volcano would be shut down 19 months later by an earthquake. So if we just postulate that, okay, the mass consciousness had leaked out this information to us, what, maybe a year and a half ago, I'd have to ask George when we first started discussing this, because it was initially associated with the Israeli mistake.
Right.
But the George Muir postulate is that the longer we see something appearing in the data, the more emotional impact. I don't think we're going to get a whole lot more emotionally impacting than this oil volcano, so it makes sense that it appeared a couple of years back. In any event, if that is correct, that our forecast was that accurate that far back, then I see no reason to doubt the other part of it, which is that it would shut off due to an earthquake in 19 months. And so the way I'm thinking about it is that, boy, let's get Harper somebody to fire off the earthquake now, take our lumps with New Madrid going, but at least shut it down now, because the problem is, if we let it go for 19 months, or if it goes for 19 months because we're impotent in attempting to do anything, then even shut off, then we're looking at basically, a mass that will rotate around the planet for 50 to 80 years, poisoning everything that it touches.
The ecosystem connectivity and ramifications thereof are just off the chart. We have nothing to compare it to.
Right?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The only events we've ever had to compare it to were non-man-made, were massive climate change.
Right.
And they affected mass populations negatively. So we've seen that level of diaspora in the past.
All right. Hold on. Back in just a minute with Cliff High of HalfPastHuman.com. The new report is there. Okay, and let's get right back to Cliff High. Here's a 1 minute piece I want to play, Cliff. It's a YouTube video. Surf on Pensacola Beach, boiling like acid. It's a video, and I'll post it, and you folks can see it. For those of you who are familiar with normal surf line activity, when it rolls up on the sand and then recedes, I think you'll be pretty amazed at what they're seeing on Pensacola Beach right now. So here we go, and listen to the fellow on there describing what he is videotaping.
I'm the only person here in the water line. If you see the water bubbling, it's probably the reason. I've never seen anything like this in the Gulf. Look how the water's bubbling. There's definitely something in it that's causing it to do this. Let's walk up and look at our beach. It's unbelievable to think that these used to be called the world's widest beaches, and look at them now. And God only knows what that is in the water that's making it bubble like it's got acid in it.
Well, we could make some guesses. A million times.
Well, either hydrogen sulfide or
either one.
Methane would have caused that effect.
Yep. Pretty ugly stuff.
Yeah.
We should also credit your work and George's for the October 7th. Is it come, what, 3 years now coming up, October 7th?
Yeah.
Yeah, the financial crash, and you were on the program talking about that a year in advance, and you hit it on the day. Right on the very day.
Scary
right.
stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it is. We have a new report out here, and I guess we should talk a little bit about that. And it's 35, 36 pages long, I think, in its entirety. Must have taken another year off your life to do this one.
Don't say things like that.
Well, you're going to be lived through.
It feels like it. I grant you that, but let's not.
You already have 162 years. You can spare a year.
There we go. Okay, cool. But certainly I've shed a few of my remaining hairs. Number 14 is gone.
Wow.
But in any event, yes, it's but it's a different format now because we'd always been fighting. I always hated that particular part of writing the report where I was racing time because we get immediacy data that's good 3 days out. Well, that's just really a guess. It might be that I'm reading something and 25 minutes later we see the beginning of that particular linguistic, so no sense writing about it. So that racing time stuff really does wear you down. But this way, the new breakup in the format, getting the immediacy data and then the shorter term and then the longer term, allows a different perspective on all of it. So the next report will take a lot longer, but we should have a further look out. This particular one, though, is focused on this summer through to November, and we know we've got a 4-day tipping point in November. We don't have any clearer perception of what's going to occur.
A tipping point in November.
Yeah, think of the entire mass of the planet, the humans running around, and sum up all of their emotional attitudes and get the majority of it as one number, like a six or something like that. The tipping point is when we're all focused, all of our energies, all our emotions, in a particular way, and then life changes thereafter based on the outcome of that particular event. So the last tipping point we were able to identify was the very first one we did on a social consciousness level, which was the 9/11 tipping point, because life was changed for the whole planet thereafter, pretty much. I mean, I'm sure there were people in the Amazon that became aware of the event 6 or 8 months later, but for the vast majority of us, it was almost an instantaneous that day kind of an event.
Right.
This one coming up in November, we know the particulars around it, how it will affect the humans. We just don't know what the causal agents are. And having gotten the Israeli mistake oil volcano one connected but wrong in terms of what caused what, I'm becoming very hesitant to be monkey mind out there saying, oh, this is going to cause something. But we do know that there's 4 days of everybody holding their breath from November 8th through the 11th, and then 2 months of release language.
The important thing about what you just said, what Cliff just said, is release language. That doesn't mean the problem is over.
No,
it just means that
you can't hold your breath anymore. Just the anxiety is in you, and you've just got to, let it go. You've got to breathe, right?
That's right, and then deal with it. And it could be really unpleasant.
Or it could be a giant party. I mean, if something occurred and we had, we can always have it be the other way. Usually our reports don't work out that way, but I keep hoping.
A party for 2 months?
Well, what would happen if hypothetically the shadow government came out from behind the shadows and said, guys, we're going to try and seal off the oil volcano on November 8th with a harp-like energy weapon thing that'll cause an earthquake. We think it'll probably cause New Madrid to go, and there'll be a whole lot of shaking, but if it works, it'll be done, and we won't have to worry about this. And then that actually occurs. It takes 4 days. We get the New Madrid going off. Everybody's holding their breath to see if it works. And then it did work, and hooray, for 2 months we all party. That would work.
Okay.
Because, you know, the release language would be the same. There'd be a lot of recriminations and so on, but we'd still be thrilled. Everybody would be, you know,
back
on a new path.
I'd like to see the the powers that be admit to such technology.
They won't.
That's my point.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
No, and we also have to face the fact that they're really kind of screwed, because we have to look at it this way. They, even if there is going to be an evacuation, they won't tell people, they'll just let it occur. They can't afford to tell people in advance, because the minute that anybody in an officialdom capacity comes out and says, guys, we've got to evacuate even 5 million people, the entire global derivative markets crash of that millisecond because of all the property that used to be backing whatever amount of those derivatives.
Yes. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Rest in hell where you belong.
And it'll occur either way. The minute the evacuations occur, then we realize we can't live down there because of floating gas clouds that are, you know, causing birds to drop dead out of the sky. And people
they're right now. That's right.
Right. The lands will still go, the derivatives will still be shot, but at least there won't be anybody in officialdom that will have to stand up and...
I still am amazed at, when you think about it, how few exits there are from massive population centers. Think about it. How many exits are there from your urban population center? Two or three?
You don't want to be talking to me about that.
No, I'm speaking rhetorically.
Because I'm building
here.
A boat.
Yeah. Now, you better hurry. I'm talking to the audience out there. You think about it. You got two or three major freeways, and that's it. You get a couple of big tractor-trailer rigs sideways. You got no exit routes.
Or even things you can't see, like gas clouds. What if you
drive
into one of these events? Yeah.
And you die in the car while you're driving.
Yeah.
Or you're overwhelmed and you lose conduct. It doesn't matter. Absolutely. Remember, methane... No odor.
And colorless, yeah.
Okay.
Heavier than air.
A million times.
Under appropriate conditions.
Stays right down nearer the ground, usually. A million times more concentrated and available in the ocean than it should be. The professor said he was absolutely overwhelmed, stunned, beyond stunned.
Well, there's an issue there.
Hold on, we've got to do this. Come right. Hold your thought, please. We'll be right back. Okay, and we're back with Cliff High, whose famous words, profane times demand profane words. Be warned. I'm warned.
Well, you know, you get that way. It's disgusting times. Then to think that BP did this deliberately, or at least the powers that be directed their minions to cause this to occur. There's all that kind of evidence in terms of everyone selling their BP shares before it occurs.
They knew they were having trouble last when you were gathering data for the March 12th report, though, or for this report. For the March 12th report was February 2. They were having pressured trouble with this way early on, and they just said to hell with it, and they kept right on drilling. So, they knew this thing potentially was going to do exactly something similar to what it's doing. I don't know... These people are like parasites, though. They'll take advantage of anything. An automobile wreck, it doesn't matter. They'll take advantage of it. So
I know. It's disturbing. Yeah. Because so many of us would not.
You were starting to say something at the break. Do you remember where we were?
Oh, just about the methane and how it can get into the... You were talking about the fellow that found the million times higher.
Yeah.
The issue for me is not merely that. Because the ice methane, of course, as if it's broken loose due to the jostling of everything going on down there, floats up, it dissolves and produces dissolved methane along the way. But the other issue, of course, is the unseen once it's out as a gas. We also have to acknowledge that the oil itself evaporates at a tremendous rate, actually. Volumetrically, it can lose a huge amount of mass in the right conditions, which they have in the Gulf. So once again, I'm very concerned about the ill winds component of this and the issue of the diaspora, which is the scattering of the peoples. In the case of previous examples, historically, we've only had things like climate change and patterns of movement to go by, but we're going to probably live through something that would be a permanent or unknown in duration. We just would not be able to guess how long it would be if they end up starting to evacuate areas. Let's leave aside the potential for things like the methane explosion causing a tsunami, which is very real if there's any kind of subsidence or rupture down there. But leaving all of that aside and just dealing with any kind of an evacuation, not only do we have the instant, at that point, collapse of the economic system that in any way touches derivatives, mm-hmm. and that pretty much is probably everything these days, but at that point we also have to start dealing with the chaos that would be involved just because the social mass won't move the way we have seen in the past. So our models are not particularly effective in saying, oh, you know, we saw 5 million people or 20 million people in movement with the climate change that we, where there was run by Temujin, the guy we call Genghis Khan. Mm-hmm. And they did thus and so, and this is how they moved relative to that climate change. Well, they weren't in a situation where they were dependent on automobiles and the fuel for them. And right. they moved in a asymmetric tribal fashion, so it was more or less disorganized chaos that had certain boundaries, whereas ours will not. We'll have freeways clogged, as you point out, and then we'll have all of the issues of Katrina, especially those with the healthcare system, compounded by the sheer mass of people involved. Right. And then there's the issue of where they would put them. So it becomes logistics at a huge level, even beyond the ability of any they to direct.
I think they can direct it. I don't think they're going to try to organize an evacuation in any kind of logical sense. I think that what they're going to do is take the CS, the chicken manure way out, and just let it happen. Try and direct it after the fact. I honestly don't see an organized evacuation of 20 million people. I just don't.
Well, we couldn't do it even if we tried.
That's what I'm saying.
Dawned on them. Yeah.
No, they can't. And so they're just not going to say anything. It's like if they knew the world was going to end or an enormous asteroid was going to hit us, they wouldn't tell us.
No. So it's in our own interest to start thinking about ourselves in a different way now. And this is part of that paradigm shift that's occurring. And in fact, you see it even on the news, and your previous guest had alluded to it with the various rants at the various governors, and how she stood up for the new guy down there in Louisiana, because at least he's out there. And it's, you know, that's, even if he is corrupt, actually, especially if he's corrupt, he's probably a very good local governor because he's dependent upon the corruption and realizes this and wants to keep things going. So he's going to fight for it. Mm-hmm. But you know, regardless of his motivation, we're now seeing the paradigm shift where everybody's acknowledging that the empire is defunct in its ability to get anything done. It's overstressed. Even the National Guard can't really commit because it has no resources other than nominal manpower. And at this stage, we're starting to see that shift, and I bet you we'll see the breakdown all in the process of it ultimately becoming an evacuation, all the way down to where you're more or less dealing with probably friends and family building up into some level of a tribal collective.
I won't even go as far as to say a crude elemental militia either. It's going to be probably smaller than that.
It will have to be almost, I would think, no more than 45 or 50 people is a manageable group that can clump together and still be able to be somewhat nomadic and move.
Wow.
And that'll be part of the issue, is we'll have to have food supplies that will, and there's going to be mass death no matter what, however we look at it. We've already sentenced innumerable people to die of starvation simply because we've removed the protein that used to be harvested from that region of the ocean. As it spreads, it'll continue to impact the protein levels available for humans. Just on a statistical level, we can say, oh, X number of people have just died because, you know, the bluefin tuna won't be breeding now, and so 5 years from now there won't be a harvest that we can have, and so on and so on. We can make these predictions at this point. It's unfortunate that our forecast of 1.28 billion people may indeed be a realistic estimate over time.
Which
and not
hemisphere?
That long a time, actually.
North and South America?
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when you start thinking about, you know, if our healthcare system breaks down, statistically, I love the way in which Buckminster Fuller approached things in terms of his methods. And he always used resource analysis, and you can make some very broad specific cases just from some, or general cases from some very specific cases. We know, for instance, that when electricity failed in Katrina, there were people who whose lives perished because that electricity went in the healthcare system.
Right.
So we can extend that over 20 to 40 million people and say, oh, 2 million people are dying the moment that it becomes an evacuation because there won't be the healthcare resources to keep them alive this additional period of time.
Well, and all those who rely on pharmacy refills.
Correct.
We could talk for hours about
that. Or clean water or any of this because, of course, bearing in mind as the populations move north, so now all of those people that have been purchasing all this gear for an in-situ survival are going to have to readjust their parameters but still stick to those things that make sense. If you've got a water filter, it makes sense to haul that with you. Even if it's big and bulky, in the end, it will probably pay for that extra amount of calories lugging it around because you won't get sick because you'll be able to filter the water for your family. Make sense?
You bet. I just am amazed to think of that many people on the move in a tribal fashion, which is what
The tribal fashion will come after the collapse, after the social disruption and collapse of them attempting to get around the broken down cars and everything.
You'll end up there, and it just...
Yeah.
At first, people will try to take... Good-natured people will try to help. They'll take people into their homes, and the food will go twice as fast, and it'll be gone, and there won't... It's just going to be an amazing... I wonder what the world response to this is going to be. Of course, we know now the Obama administration has turned down, as has BP, outside offers of help for this oil crisis. But if we have a humanitarian crisis where there are a lot of people dying, I wonder what the world will do.
Well, at least initially, there will be some countries that will lend aid. Unfortunately, it'll be stuff that we don't really care about. In the sense that at that point it'll be the offer of, forgiving of debt or the passing back of dollars. And that won't really be meaningful because we'll be in a collective resource pinch within this country that will require some... Actually, the thing we're really good at is we're good at logistics. No other country on the planet is able to do the kind of logistics that we can. And the height of our logistics skill is demonstrated not by our corporate business, but by the military logistics centers that can actually used to be able to get goods from point A to point B at phenomenally low cost for vast numbers of people. But we've farmed all of that out, and yet we're going to need that level of logistics savvy again on a very short order and almost in a chaotic or emergency kind of a basis where we'll need to shift logistic talent from point A to point B and this kind of thing. And that's really... I think the only thing that'll cut down on the chaos and save us as we go forward, because it looks like we have to accept the fact that the air is going to be poisoned in the regions in the Gulf. The water is being poisoned now. The air is likely poisoned now at some significant level.
Yeah.
Non-measurable. They won't tell us. We will have infrastructure collapse. We will have such strange things as three and four generational birth defects that will come from this. And that's already... in the DNA now, because those effects have already hit the childbearing population that's been breathing the gases, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these effects are unpredictable at a personal level, but very predictable at a large scale level.
Wow.
Our forecasts are, I think, unfortunately becoming very clear now that we know what the scope of the things are that are going to be involved. And then if we also get the Israelis going crazy over their...
They're moving our ships around.
Over there.
Little
yeah, they're the only enemy that's ever attacked one of our ships and never paid any price. Or
never
maybe two. I'm putting them down for the coal until it's proven otherwise.
Right. 19
USS
months.
USS Liberty, let's not forget
that's
that.
That's right. No, that's right. 19 months. We're July 2010.
19 months from inset date, so that would be April 20th, Hitler's birthday.
It still puts us into 2012, doesn't it?
Correct, yeah. Uncomfortably close to when our data gap gets really serious.
Now that we need to talk about, we will, the data gap in 2012 and what Cliff and George's research is showing for us in that time period, which is coming very fast. We'll be right back with Cliff High in just a few minutes. All right, we're back. Cliff High is with us tonight. We're talking about the new report available at halfpasthuman.com. Hope all of you will go over there and get a copy. It covers everything. We're just talking primarily about the oil issue now, but there is much in the report in those 36 pages that will leave your jaw reaching for the desk beneath it. It's quite amazing. And when you consider the track record and the past predictions that have come to pass, it becomes even more amazing to read. I guess that's the most sanguine word I can use. The new report, one of the segments, Terra, quaking, baking, drowning, flaking, astounding.
And yeah.
That was...
Well, we've got to characterize it somehow.
Quite a role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how else to do it. You did it perfectly. This section, of course, does deal with Terra, meaning the Earth, and it has to do with the oil. 19 months out. This is interesting. From that's from onset, of course, in April.
Yeah.
Now, the earthquake, with this much of a displacement of material, be it gas or liquid, from a cavity or a massive mother load down there, has to yield at some point to the tremendous pressure upon it placed there by the ocean. Now, the earthquake
assumes, though, that it's a reservoir. And
okay.
I think we may be able to dispute that because there's a lot of indications from the linguistics, but also that we analyzed after the fact,
mm-hmm.
that suggested that BP knew that they were after a primary source. And a primary source, by definition, are these things that the Russians found, very deep. They're not connected to reservoirs. They're an area from which oil seeps out and is then collected in these giant capstones that up to this point we've usually tapped by drilling through the capstone mm-hmm. to these little collected areas. But so this is the primary source. So we can think of it this way. Usually, up until the time that the Russians discovered this, 6, 8, 10 years back, they started really getting active in this. Maybe 20 years ago they were thinking about it. But until the Russians, we'd always thinking of the Earth as a giant coffee pot, or the old percolator style that had the little glass thing at the top of the lid. And up until then, we'd always just been drilling through the glass to get our oil inside the little collecting area that was driven up there by the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Russians and now BP have sunk their wells all the way down inside the central pipe in the percolating thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a reservoir. It won't really slow down, ease up, or any of that.
No, the pressure is not diminishing. The PSI has not changed, apparently. We're not getting
reports
on that either.
And I doubt that it will. In fact, it'll likely increase because of the other things that are going on, which is the energetic interaction between our planet and the sun and the return current and what goes on then, which is the return current is what we usually call the hurricane season, because it's very much like a alternating current in electricity where we would use a commutator to vibrate the electricity back between positive and negative and thus be able to shove it through lines with less resistance. There's a similar effect that occurs between the Earth and the sun.
Hmm.
When the sun sends us lots of electricity, and in a brief period of the year, we send back all of the electricity that we haven't really used, if you want to think of it that way. And during that period of time, we have the counterflow of winds, the shifting of the trade currents, the creation of the great storms, the hurricanes and the typhoons,
mm-hmm.
as well as this high energy particle exchange that goes on with the sun, which coincidentally also increases planetary pressure and usually results in earthquakes anyway. So now that the sun's a bit more energetic, we're getting more energy from it. We have a higher volume to turn back. All of these things are interrelated. BP just happens to come along and jab a main artery of the planet when the planet's in a state of high blood pressure.
Right.
Makes sense?
Well said. Yeah, the electric universe.
Correct.
David Talbot and Wal Thornhill's work. Fascinating how you synthesize that and pull it into the conversation.
See, it goes all the way back to Maxwell in the 1830s, and it was even known by the the Greeks in 300 AD, there was this marvelous little exposition about the interaction of the vibratory energy between the Earth and the Sun, which basically encapsulate what we've just discussed there.
Right.
And so BP has come along, and I think knowingly, until proven otherwise, I'm going to assume that they're rat bastards, and that they did know what they were doing, and that they chose that spot on the planet to drill specifically because they wanted to create this particular effect for somebody's nefarious reasons. Now, that's my mental bent, if you will, and I've been taught by universe to think that some of these guys at the top are rat bastards, and well, okay, so they proved it to me. We might as well continue with that. It's worked so far.
Right.
Now, I think that they did that, and that they were after this kind of an effect, and it apparently has worked, and I think they know what's coming up this summer as a result of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
That will be an escalation of it all through July and August,
mm-hmm.
that I think is going to be tied to the 12 days of torment for the Obama administration. I think it's going to get a lot worse at the end of July due to probably another high pressure incident, if you will, that's primarily caused by the sun, but wouldn't have been a problem if BP hadn't jabbed their big needle into that particular vein, or into that particular artery.
20-inch needle, which is being abraded as we speak. There's probably not much left of it. We do know it has failed at the subsurface level somewhere down there between the surface and 30,000 feet or however deep they went. That's clear. That's why they dropped Top Kill real quick. As soon as they started to successfully shut down the flow, well, it went right past the rupture in the pipe down below the seabed and came right up and out cracks. And they said, well, we'd stop this real quick. So that was probably a surprise to them. The pipe has failed. It is failing. It's essentially useless now. There's nothing much that can be done with it. They're siphoning. They're trying, but it's a marginal issue. Eventually, with that much PSI, what's left of that casing is probably just going to blow right out of there.
Especially since it's not really oil that's coming out, but it's this precursor material from which oil is percolated. Yeah.
Right. Okay. July and August in the South, the heat, the humidity, the horror of it all, where people can't even, they're so lethargic and soporific, they can't move. And they're going to have to move, and a lot of them are going to die. We got a 40% obesity problem in this country. You're talking about medical deaths earlier is absolutely correct, but the general physical health and well-being of the populace
isn't that good to begin with.
No.
Yeah. It's the same kind of baton death march kind of an issue. The baton death march was a terrifically horrible thing. However, the way it was portrayed by the U.S. propaganda machine was inaccurate. The reason primarily that the Americans or the developed world prisoners died at the hands of the Japanese was because we were used to trucks. Our people were only used to walking 300 miles a year. The Japanese were used to walking 1,100 or 1,200 miles a year, so it was no big deal to them. So they thought we were faking it when our guys fell over of heat exhaustion after only 20 miles in a day. They just couldn't believe we were that weak. And it's because of the technological shift. So you're quite correct. We now have a population that at some point is 40 or 50% nebbish. And that is people whose main job is being cube farmed. The potential for these people to exist in a diaspora situation is not very good if the system breaks down to the point where there's not effective transportation and yet they still must move because of life-threatening conditions. However, as we're seeing, the powers that be are in a real bind. They're not going to come out and say, evacuate, 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 simply because the minute they do so, everything for them collapses. And I cannot, in my wildest imagination, picture any of the current crop of Congress critters as having the courage to stand up and sell the rest of their future down by telling the truth about anything.
I agree. Totally agree. All right. When is this 12 days?
The 12 days of torment, we get this weird thing about the Obama administration. It was our first specific Obama-oriented archetype that came up. We'd had Bush-oriented archetypes way early in the process of the Bush guys coming on, and they started off as Bush Co., and eventually the corporations left Bush, and it whittled itself down to just the Bushistas, the true believers. Now we're getting a situation that's sort of the reverse of that for the Obama guys, and that is that what we're calling the Obamamonians, because it's going to be the all these people that used to be, and perhaps still are, entranced or glamorized by, that is to say, have magic over their eyes, by the Obama administration, you know, change we can believe in, something new is going to happen instead of usual, you know, business as usual, the sheep being led out to be sheared or slaughtered. So the Obamamonians are going to get a comeuppance this summer because they're for the 12 days of August 1 through, or actually probably July, late in July, but certainly through the first solid 10 days of August, but 12 days in total, they're going to go through some kind of weird torment where no decision works. It's going to be Rita Katrina 100 times worse for the Obama administration guys trying to make decisions based on the circumstances. And it may be that the Gulf gets that much worse that much rapidly.
Looking pretty grim now.
Yeah.
When are these 12 days projected?
I'm sorry?
The 12 days when?
August 1 through 12th is basically, it'll fade off around the 11th or 12th.
Huh. Well, all right.
Doesn't mean they make a good decision. It just means that there's less pressure on them at that point.
Got it. Okay, back in a minute, we're going to talk about data gaps with Cliff as we continue. Okay, let's get right back to Cliff. I still am toying with this 20 to 40 million people in a diaspora on the run, literally, and a lot of them are not going to have vehicles because they'll run out of gas, and the gas stations will run out of gas, of course, before that. Freeways, it's going to be a mess. What will the feds do? Will they try to order homeowners or people who are leasing homes or have room to take people in, take them in, and where will they draw the boundaries, and what kind of incentives will they try to give them? How will they con them, bribe them, reward them, give them a tax break? What? I don't know. The whole thing is crazy.
And, yeah, it's going to get very insane, yeah. It produces social chaos within our numbers, and that's why we see the chaos is an interesting term, especially within our linguistics, because we can get chaotic situations that express themselves in two separate ways within the data. One is a scattering of particular linguistics across a wide area, so much a sort of a dispersion of an entity type. The other is actually a collection of data elements all clustering around a central theme as we have now. And within that, we see a contention between the positive and negative, or an escalation between negative and constraint at numeric levels. And that's actually what we've got now, is a description of chaos where we have negative pressures for behavior and then constraints on the ability to react or actually have any kind of an effective response. That's why we were able to say ahead of time that we were going to see three separate instances of wide-scale discussion of the ineffectiveness of the federal government at dealing with what initially would be a regional disaster but would lead to the actual dispersing of the peoples throughout the continent. And we also were able to, out of that, extract the numbers which led us to the conclusion that north of 40 would be considered to be safe. Now there's the rub. 40 degrees latitude north. The idea being that, this is safe. That's coming out of the data, and that may be a linguistic presumption that may or may not be largely effective. In other words, the potential for the disaster is such that it could go all the way up the Mississippi and reach the Great Lakes if we were talking about airflow, because that's a predominant pattern that we would usually get with the hurricane season. Now, so far in these last 3 years, we've had that pattern not exist, and their flow has been from to the Great Lakes, and the northern growing region has been from the West Coast, which has led to their horrific weather, our continuing rain and situation out here. If that stops and we get that, quote, normal pattern again, then the smell of burning asphalt, which may be the aromatic hydrocarbons that are released when they burn the oil or burn this material that's an oil precursor, that may extend way far north, which may mean that the north of 40 is probably more of a guess than any kind of factor of surety.
Draw us 40 in our mind's eye.
Oh, I'm at 47 here in Olympia, Washington, so say, south of the Columbia River, south of Umatilla, running across, you know, the bottom mm-hmm. half of the country here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I can do better than that. Let me just grab this particular
globe. The Columbia River, the one that glows at night from Hanford?
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's at 45. So we're looking at 40 at the California to Oregon border, Idaho.
Really?
Border.
Right there at the Oregon-California border. All right.
Yeah,
well,
bottom part of Wyoming. We mm-hmm. keep going across to Omaha. You know, Chicago would be okay. Pittsburgh, those kind of areas would be mm-hmm. in the northern regions. Now, a lot of this is going to be topographically dependent, and especially relative to what occurs, whether we have a hurricane that's allowed up or not.
All right, for those of you who are saying, what's he talking about, just simply do a search with any good search engine for H-A-A-R-P and start reading, and you'll understand.
Weather War is another good Google.
The Weather War is a very good one. Rents.com, HARP, just put it out. The search engine, I've got 350,000 articles.
There you go. Why go anyplace else?
Yeah, what am I doing?
Yeah, you've got it covered there, yeah.
A minute till the break here. Let's say, okay, 40th, all right, that's California-Oregon border. You can take a map and look. The part that just is seemingly, they're in a bind. If they allow the moisture to go up into the Ohio River Valley, et cetera, it's probably
right.
going to be contaminated, polluted, and do far more damage for far longer than if they go through a drought. And they try and somehow bring in water on a supplemental basis from Canada. I don't know.
But even so, the issue for us has always been the following, that when we first saw the impacts of the oil volcano, the real thing for us was not the oil coming out or the problem seen at that level, but rather the ill winds that resulted, and that these would go around the planet 9 times and eventually congregating around the equator. That
mm-hmm.
sort of a scenario is still very likely.
Wow.
And in fact is occurring now, just extremely slow. The mm-hmm. oil has got to go somewhere. The way in which the planet rotates, centrifugal force, et cetera, will tend to collect it towards the equator.
Well, most of it's underwater, too, as you know. It's
yeah, but
huge...
I'm talking about the impact of the oil on the atmosphere.
Oh, gotcha.
Because there's, who knows what level of evaporation. If you're talking hydrogen sulfide as a major component of the precursor stuff, it's not even really crude oil. It's some kind of really thicker material that has a lot different constituents, a lot of which are evaporating.
The components of oil is what we're seeing, the early constituents of oil. Let's forever bury the con job of peak oil, all right?
Or fossil relation to
if
it.
If you hear anybody say fossil fuel, gently, kindly, if they care or if you can get to them, explain to them that it doesn't have anything to do with it.
It's abiotic, and ask them if they've got one of those Flat Earth Society.
That's right. Abiotic, look that up too at rents.com. Joe Vials, a late journalist from Australia, wrote a great article about it. A-B-I-O-T-I-C, abiotic. Oil.
Yeah, actually, we heard Obama the other day say oil was finite in his little speech, and it's like, okay, you know, gag me. At that point, you're wandering off into the mist again.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, back in a minute. Okay, back with Cliff. 2012 data gaps. What are we talking about here? Haven't we enough trouble in the next 19, 20 months?
Apparently not. Apparently we're...
What kind of a gap are you talking about, Cliff?
Well, we have an absence of something in terms of something occurs and it causes the data flow for our long-term element to start trailing off.
What does that mean? Disappearing?
Well, let me describe it. We have sort of an aquarium display in this dimensional, sort of an aquarium that's all filled with different colored jellyfish or jelly beans. And
right.
as we shift that towards 2012 by running our model space a little bit more, I think they're not showing up the way they used to. And that's sort of to be expected, but then it continues and more colors are involved until as we shift our model further towards 2012 into the long-term data, we're getting less data to look at, and our granularity falls below what we consider to be reliable. So something occurs that it could very well be the oil volcano and the death of a billion, which would be, you know, a sizable percentage of the human population, and the disruptions caused by that series of events or number of years of events, whatever, mm-hmm. bring the ability of our technology not to a screeching halt, but more to a sort of a gradual wind down over a short period of months in early 2012. The data gap becomes total in about fall of 2012, and then we see a little bit more in the way of data coming back in the very far edge of our long-term data, 2013 and 14, with sort of a pickup into 2017. We've made some monkey mind speculation about this and said that, well, you know, that X, Y, and Z occurred, and it would fit this particular kind of a pattern that we're seeing in the data now. But to be honest, we're just guessing about that because we've only been doing this effectively since 97. So our history, even though it extends back 13 years, has never encountered anything like what we're looking at in terms of the data. But it is atypical in our system. And the curious part about the data gap itself is that the gap moves forward with the data type. So in other words, in 2003, it was 7 years away in the data, and now in 2010, it's only 2 years away in the data, so we're actually approaching some point of an event horizon or whatever, however we want to think about it.
How long does the gap exist? How far out can you project it?
Starting, it really affects us from March 2012 and goes all the way out to May of 2013. That's a period where it's sort of like too few.
So something really bad happens. Something really, it looks like, if you're not getting normal feedback and normal data to that extent that you've never seen before,
then we're postulating that it's not a good sign, correct?
Well,
we be screwed is not on the data, not on a data sign right there, but we could probably paint it.
It's just a 15-month party.
Yeah.
One of those parties. Wow. All right.
Well, it has a tendency to clarify your focus and say you, a lot of the things that I used to care about, I just don't anymore. And it's like, okay, I'm just not going to do that. Time is too short. I've got to maximize every single minute because of things that are underway right now.
Can you get your boat finished?
Well, we're doing, we're all kinds of stuff going on with boats. I'm going to take my Umiak here, and we're making it into a video audio platform, and George and I are going to go on out and have some big BS sessions on the water and put them on YouTube and see if people like to listen to them.
Good. Well, don't forget your extra case of duct tape in case of leaking.
Considering that it's a cloth boat, yes, indeed, that's mm-hmm. and it's dry on the inside to a certain extent. Yeah, that sort of works, yeah.
George, we've got to extricate him from his current digs, don't we?
He's actually in the process of doing that. He's coming up to the Northwest here for some family time this summer.
Good.
And
yeah.
Then he and Elaine are thinking that they want to relocate out of his, survival ranch deluxe mm-hmm. out of Texas and come mm-hmm. back up here to the rainy Northwest.
Nothing wrong with rain. I enjoy every drop of it.
Yeah, okay. It was really something. Yeah.
I didn't dislike it. I'm sorry to say a bit, and I'll take that over 110 degree, 105.
Oh, any day. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, it's 4 days into the summer in the heat, and it's already. How long have we been annoyed by this? Yeah,
you got it. Okay, we have 2012. The government, of course, the bad guys, the alleged government. The powers that reside in the city of London and all of their minions and their tentacles, which go everywhere on the planet practically,
right.
can play this 2012 card as viciously and wickedly as they want. We know they control the weather. We know they control the currencies. We know they control the population. I guess the question would be, what the hell don't they control?
They don't control circumstance.
That's
where we have
random circumstance.
No, because the universe is not random, and that's the whole point. And
you ask a teenager, and they describe it as random. Hey, that's random, man. You're quite right, and I'm wondering what they're going to try to do to control and get in and manipulate the mass collective subconscious. And you know well, damn well they'll try anything.
They're doing it all now, and that's their real problem. And that's actually, if you will, the opening that allows us to see what's going on. They're trying at their maximal output right at this point to keep things going.
Yep.
And it's failing.
Interesting. Well, they took those Princeton results and ran with them, folks. Don't think for a minute they didn't. This goes way
back.
Yeah,
but there are some things that they don't know about either, and here's their issue. Look at it as a diametric or duality in opposition. We presented way back when we thought that things were still legit, before we'd become educated, we presented the idea of our technology to the CIA in this fervor of patriotism, thinking the CIA were good guys. Not, I acknowledge that there's good individuals within that organization, but the organization is, by its very nature, corrupt and evil. Any intelligence organization, I'm not singling them out. However, the point being that the CIA at all, all of these people care about what individuals think and do, and they try and track what individuals think and do. I don't care about that. Who says what to whom is immaterial to me. What is interesting is the mass social change that is given out in these little hints and stuff, and it's actually different expressions of duality. They are drowning in minutia. They don't know how to handle it. They have no concept of the big picture. They don't know how developing circumstances are actually playing out. And what they're missing is, in fact, the clues that will lead, or not the clues, but the trends that, uh-huh. that are forecasting their major downfall.
Uh-huh.
And we're seeing it now. And the minute that we hit the evacuation, that the scattering of the peoples begins within the United States, it's the death of the dollar, the rise of the $600 silver into the chaos. Not a good time. So people write to me and they say, well, when will $600 silver be here? And I say, if you're lucky, never in your lifetime. But if you're unlucky, it may well be in your lifetime, and you'll rue every single day of it, simply wow. because of the chaos that such a thing represents.
Absolutely. And you can't eat silver or gold, don't forget
no,
that.
And imagine the situation that will drive it to that kind of a price. It's the collapse of dollars, there won't
right.
be food supplies,
right.
there won't be easy energy supplies, there'll be virtually nothing in the way of government except for these warlords in various cities pretending to be the inheritors of it all.
Isn't that the truth? Warlords and cities.
Yeah.
Well, again, Hollywood screenwriters couldn't have come up with anything wilder than what we're facing. Okay,
I'm
we'll
sure
be right
they
back.
Tried.
Oh, yes, I'm sure they have. Back in a minute, folks. Okay, and our final segment already with Cliff High, halfpasthuman.com. You can get the new report there. It was just released Monday. Cliff is doing this exclusive appearance on this program because he really has great respect for you, the most intelligent audience in talk radio, without question. Now, the data gap. Just got a note from Teresa, and let me read this. She says, hi, Jeff, my thoughts on this data gap. I think it may be a rare period where it is not written yet. We are being faced with many tests, and depending on how we karmically handle those tests, we'll see the outcome in that period. I could be wrong, of course, but I have also heard the same thing about the 2012 period from psychics for years. We create it all. That is why they have to manipulate our subconscious. Truly a fight of good and evil. Hopefully we'll make a different choice than has been made before. All of this has happened before. All of this will happen again. Anyway, just a thought. We have a lot of good thinking people out there.
Yeah, and it's quite true. I mean, on a continuous creation basis, my model of universe does allow that consciousness expresses itself in the material world directly because it creates matter. And since we're trapped in the material world in little bits of consciousness, we're obviously participating at some level. And I'm certain that if we all decided to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to go over and shoot that guy, all their wars would simply just disappear.
Right.
The problem at the moment is there's a couple of the nut jobs that wouldn't say that, and they'd push some buttons. But, I think we'll come out of it at some level.
What level that'll be. I think your tribal warlords appointed by what they call a federal bureaucracy to oversee cities under siege, cities where law enforcement goes home to take care of its own families in many cases.
Sure.
Immediate breakdown of the thin veneer of what they call civilization, which is hanging by a thread and people just don't get it. It's that grand illusion that keeps people toeing the line and following the rules.
Well, and also we have to acknowledge that civilization is an abstraction that frequently is assaulted historically.
Oh, yeah.
And in the assaults, we have negative impact in the sense of, you know, the Dark Ages, the collapse of the Roman Empire, the collapse of the Second Chinese Empire, etc. Fifth century China, these kind of things are very similar to the kind of times that we find ourselves now, only they were occurring. Well, no, we'd actually have to say that they were pretty much global at that point, too, because we were having the collapse of the Mayan civilizations concurrently with some of those. So there are indeed cycles, and we're at one of those. The aware observer, I guess, the smart individual who's educated themselves to be able to look up from their munching of the sheeple grass and say, what's going on in the distance there, can maybe see that, you know, it's time to start charting a separate course. And that there are some things that are simply not worth preserving. Other things make sense, but, you know, the Hadrian and the Hadrian's Wall, and then standing at the gate of the defenses, so to speak, on the bridge to defend the civilization against the barbarians is a fine and noble gesture, but the people that tell you that are the powers that be who are slipping out the back door while these brave and noble people are sacrificing themselves to defend, quote, civilization. So it's kind of, if you really look and educate yourself and you get to the point where you start listening to Michael Sarian, among others, where they describe the powers that be in excruciating detail and you see what nasty fellows these are, you think to yourself, well, if it's good enough for the Rockefellers to go skate about at this point, or the Rothschilds, then maybe it's also good enough for me. And we note, of course, that the Rothschilds are off on Plastiki, their little plastic boat in a, quote, an eco tour sort of a deal, and they're all going out and about, and at this point in time, I kind of think there's a reason.
Well, they all have their land stakes in Patagonia and Argentina and Paraguay, and they have their standby planes, private jets, ready to go in case something really unfortunate happens that they can't step
aside.
Not in
case. When? When?
When? Well, in their mind, in case.
Yeah.
But they're going to go, a lot of them. This is going to happen, and I'm curious about this mass relocation of people. And I'm just wondering if the government is going to try to come up with a program, FEMA, to force or entice, or both, homeowners and other people who have apartments or buildings to let these people stay there. And what we'll have immediately, though, of course, are shanty towns, absolute unbridled crime and criminality. This is going to be wild.
Yeah, and there's also the issue of whether FEMA per se would exist, because my point about the derivatives and the collapse of the dollar, the repercussions will be very rapid within the federal government since they're so close to the printing of the money. It's kind of like on a hose. It the water stops at the faucet before it stops at the end. So people will be hanging on out in the provinces thinking there's more money coming, but the people in the inner circle, so to speak, will know what's going on and start absolutely deserting these agencies, and it will ripple outward. So the source of control will leave and will be dying from the inside as the flow of funds is shrinking. So the idea that FEMA would exist in any kind of a comprehensive whole with the collapse of the dollar due to the sudden collapse of the derivative
due
to the evacuation.
Right. Yep. And just a word to the wise, if you haven't bought any storable food, you still have a little teeny window left, because come July and August, I think this thing is going to ramp up to a level of horror for many along the Gulf Coast that they will literally just backpack it out of there if they have to. Guns and rations, and they'll start walking, a lot of them. There are a lot of ex-military people that are able to protect themselves, and they're going to be banding together. This is going to be crazy.
Well, it's also nationwide. Now, let's not forget that the impacts will also reach all the way up into Canada. If our data was accurate on one point within that temporal area, it's probably accurate in the others. We discount numbers that come through, but some numbers we trust because of the way that they come through linguistically.
Well, these people are going to want to go north. They're not going to want to stop.
Well, my point being is, so will all of the people in Central America.
Yeah.
They'll be forced to evacuate north or south as the system of winds start drawing the poison their direction. So you'll have 50, 60 million Central Americans that will want to come up the I-5 corridor heading towards Vancouver.
Well, thank goodness the Cascades and so forth are there. Blow a few bridges and nobody moves.
They'll probably collapse on their own given all the other stuff we've got going on.
They'll all stay in Redding. We need to stop that. And it wouldn't take many National Guardsmen to take care of that. And maybe there'll be something left. Even local militias could stop it.
Yeah.
And that may happen. It's wide open here. We're at an unprecedented level in our devolution. At this point, we're looking at something we've never seen before,
and it's very interesting on many different levels. And as long as you don't get too caught up into the monkey mind part of it, you recognize that material reality is not what we are. We're not really our bodies. We're the sum total of our experiences.
Yeah, but for the average American,
that
doesn't work. They can't get there. They've been brought up on media. And the media says things.
I know.
Okay, well, for all of you folks in the Gulf area listening, what would Cliff High counsel them at this moment? We have 2 minutes left.
I'd make contingency plans for the expectation that you'll be forced out by circumstances, and I would not particularly allow myself to stay there just because government didn't tell me to move.
If
things smell bad, you're being exposed to those chemicals.
Yeah.
If it continues and gets worse, at some point you're going to have to say to yourself, how long do I allow this to continue, and what are my criteria for leaving? Make up that criteria list now so that you'll recognize it when it comes up and slaps you in the face.
And there are a lot of people leaving right now. Moving companies aren't even taking names, I understand, in many cases. So you're going to have to make plans, and now is the time to start doing them.
You have a small window of opportunity, but like I say, if you can smell it, you're being exposed to the chemical. So.
If you have relatives up in Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, whatever, be on the phone to them tomorrow and say, do you have an extra couple of rooms? We may be on the way.
Yeah. What arrangements can we make and so on? And by the way, let's all be prepared for a very cold winter up here, too.
Yeah, for sure. Bring food with you if you can. I don't know how people would even begin to leave a home behind with life possessions and
I know it's
and
horrific, but it's the same situation that refugees have faced from war, famine, Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
We're facing it all over again. Let's not be too surprised.
Americans have never had to face that. It's not in our immediate social DNA to deal with such.
Well, there was the Dust Bowl that moved my relatives, thousands of miles.
Well, I think many of us would rather see another Dust Bowl than that. We are looking at now in the Gulf. This is a biggie. Boy, if that methane goes off, kaboom, tsunami.
No, wouldn't worry about that. Methane requires specific relationship with oxygen to explode, but the other issue is the sheer pollution of the atmosphere to the point where we have the ill winds where it's not able to be breathed effectively even in the short term.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like carbon monoxide in a way.
Yeah, yeah. Whole areas of Africa are dealing with it from volcanoes and other regions. So, it's not unknown.
Wow. Cliff, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Just remarkable work you and George do. And I urge people to go to halfpasthuman.com. But more than that, I think both of us can say in unison here, be prepared and make contingency plans now while you still have a little bit of a window.
Yeah, time is not merely short. It is gone.
If
you're not doing it now, you won't be doing it in the future.
That's all too true. Thank you, my friend. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Talk to you later, guy.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night. And thanks to all of you for being here. Words to the wise have never been more succinct and direct than those you have heard in the last 2 hours. All right, we'll be back with you tomorrow night. Take care.